ask and interest in your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless His Word. I'm very aware of the reality and the fact this morning that we are very dependent upon the Lord. If we don't have the Spirit of God blessing the preached Word, it's just going to be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just going to be words. And you think, well, when this 30 minutes is over, we can get on to life. The Lord wants to minister to us, and so we need the Spirit of the Lord to open up His Word, to challenge and encourage and correct and inspire us. So ask that you pray for that this morning. Title of the message this morning is Show Thyself a Man. From Scripture, it is shew thyself a man, but that is an archaic term for show, so I just wrote the word show instead of shew. But show thyself a man. I want to wish again everyone a happy Father's Day, and those that are here with us physically and those that are listening online, we're very thankful for each one of the fathers today. And thankful for fathers who love and cherish and care for their families. There are people that say that there are no good men left. You ever heard that term? People have bad experiences with men, and I've heard especially some ladies or women, maybe I should say women instead of ladies, but women that say, well, there's just no good men left in the world. I might have a little self-interest in disagreeing with that this morning, but I'd like to say that I still believe that there are some good men left in the world. And I'm thankful for those good men. I am thankful for those that are standing up against the tide of the world, men that love God, love their families, faithful, diligent, compassionate men, and I'm still thankful for a few good men in our world today, and I'm thankful for each one of you that's here today, and I'm thankful for the young men here this morning. I'm thankful for the young men that aren't fathers yet. I'm thankful for the young men that are here in the service today, and I trust God will give the young men a special blessing today and encourage you to know that God has given you a measure of strength to young men, that you would use that strength for godly purposes, that you would use that strength and that courage and that determination that men have, that you would use that for the things of God. The Lord would bless you in it. I'd like to begin over in the book of 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings, we'll begin reading with chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son. So David was getting close to dying. He was getting to the end of his life. And when someone is getting close to the end, it seems like that you should pay a little more special attention to what they have to say. If someone's on their deathbed and they call you to their bed, it's like you're wanting to give special attention because these are some of the last words that were being communicated. So I'd like us to consider some of the last words that David communicated to his son. He was a dying father, and a dying father's words to his son, I would say, are pretty important. Pretty important things. And he gave Solomon a charge. He gave him a message. And he said that as he drew nigh that he should die, he charged Solomon. A charge is something that means to set something in order. So Solomon, my son, I give you a charge. I want to give you some words and some instruction for how to set your life in order, final instructions. And understand, David was a king. He had seen a lot of victories in life, and he was around, they say, around 70 or 71 years old is historically when David died. So he was around 70 or 71, and his son Solomon was a young man. Now, history is not clear on exactly how old Solomon was when he became king. There are some that think he was as young as 17 or 18, and some a little bit older, but I think the average age historians believe Solomon was maybe around age 20 to 22 years old somewhere. So keep that in mind. This is a 70-year-old father that is charging his son, who's in his early 20s, and he knows his son is about to take over as king. And so I would say those words deserve some attention and consideration, because Solomon was young, and that means he was inexperienced. He was fixing to step into a role that had a lot of responsibility. And there's a lot of people are going to be depending on Solomon, and he's 20, 22 years old. And so now his father is speaking to him, and this is what David said: "I go the way of all the earth." In other words, I'm fixing to die. You know, those are words that a son doesn't, in most circumstances, doesn't like to hear his father say. "I'm fixing to die, son." My dad and I were talking. It has been a number of months ago. We were on the phone and talking about death and how quickly it is. And you know, it's nice to think, well, I'll just go out quick. You know, as you get older, it's like that would be the nice way, not to suffer and just go out. And I told him, I said, "Dad, that would be nice for maybe you, but for the rest of us, it would be nice to just have a little bit of time to at least say, I love you and farewell and goodbye and all of those things." And he said, "Well, that's why we need to say it now." So we both said, "I love you," and we hung up. But do you realize that this is what David was communicating? It's like, "Son, I'm going the way of all the earth. I am the king of Israel." Do you know kings of Israel die just like street sweepers? And I say street sweepers because in Pakistan, it is a menial job. It's one of the lowliest jobs. Recently, and I don't know if Vanessa might have shared it with me, there was an advertisement and they needed some street sweepers in Pakistan. It was one of the cities advertising, and they specifically in the advertisement said this is a job opportunity for Christians. Because a lot of Christians in Pakistan, the few that there are, the 3% that there are they many times they have menial jobs because the Muslims won't support their businesses. And so they're the poor people, they're the street sweepers. It's a menial job. But David was saying, I am the king, but I'm going the way of all the earth. Doesn't matter whether you're a street sweeper or a king, we're all going to die. Do you know that should give us pause this morning? It doesn't matter what position we have held in this life. It doesn't matter how much money we've made. Are you going to be able to take your money with you when you go? You can be able to take your clothes and your cars and your houses? No, it's kind of like Job said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When it comes time to die, we're not going to be able to take anything with us. No material things. All that we're going to be able to take is how we have lived our life. Our soul, our spirit. Have we served God? Have we put the Lord first? Have we followed in His ways? You know, this morning that it should change our perspectives on life. It should change our perspective when we have life decisions to make. And it's like, what am I going to do? What are the choices I'm making to recognize that we too are going to go the way of all the earth? Would it change how we've been living our life? Would it change our priorities this morning if we were a little bit more cognizant that I'm going the way of all the earth? I'm going to die. And I don't know when I'm going to die. Does anybody here know when you're going to die this morning? None of us know. We could leave here this morning and someone could be in a car accident. We have no assurance of tomorrow because we're going to go the way of all the earth. And it should give us a solemnity in the decisions we make. It should give us pause in how we treat each other. It should give us pause in how we relate in our homes and in our families to know the way that I'm going to go the way of all the earth. I wonder what the last words will be that I've spoken to my wife. I wonder how it will be when I step out the door never to return again because I went out. When I take a trip and, oh, Brother Michael got malaria and died. Oh, he's gone. Or maybe got hit by a car. What memories will I have left with my wife? Because we don't know those things, it should give us a pause that every word that we speak, every way that we act, the things that we do, we are going to be making an impression and leaving something behind us. What are we going to go out and face God with in eternity? It changes. It should be sobering. We're all headed to eternity. One of my sons called the other, well, it was Ethan. He called the other day and he'd gotten his first paycheck. You know, he graduated from school and worked, and he was not real happy when he saw how much the government took out. He could have had all his budgeting and all this planned out how things were going to go, and all of a sudden, and he got a signing bonus. And I think the government took, 40% of it? The government took a lot of his signing bonus. That just didn't seem right. I mean, he thought he had a little extra to get started, and the government, I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was a whole lot more than what he thought or planned. I said, son, there's two things that are sure in life. You know what they are. It's death and taxes. And I will say some people can cheat on their taxes, but folks, you're not going to be able to cheat when we go out into eternity. We're all headed there. So that's where David was. This is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. You say you're talking about death this morning, but this is where David was. I'm going out. So Solomon, I'd like to talk to you just a little bit, and I want to share a charge with you. So this is what he said, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and shew thyself a man. Son, I'm going to die, and I want to encourage you, I charge you to be strong and show yourself a man. Be a man. And so I wonder, what does it mean to be a man this morning? Because those are, to be strong, what does it mean to be strong? How much weight you can lift? It means having power. To be strong means to have power. To move heavy weights, perform physically demanding tasks. But the essence of strength is able to withstand great force or pressure. Able to withstand great force or pressure. Solomon, you're about to take on a lot of responsibility. I'm dying. Be strong. Don't cave. Do you know God created men with a strength that He did not create women with? I know that is not popular in our world today, but it's scriptural. God created men and women. He created women with a more nurturing instinct, and He created men. I've written unto you, young men, Paul said, because you're strong. How are we going to use that strength? Show yourself a man. I want to encourage all of you men, all you young men, young and old alike, show yourself a man. You say, well, what does that mean? May I encourage you not to go Google what it means? So as I was meditating and studying and prepping, I Googled it. You want to know what one of the definitions of a man is in our modern generation? It says a man is without regard to gender. One of the first things that pulled up. That's not what the Bible teaches. In the beginning, God created man. He created male, and he created female. Show yourself a man. We teach the young women that they should be feminine, and they should. Men are to be masculine. Everybody's created differently, but I don't want to put on the airs of a female. I don't want to dress like one. I don't want to walk like one. I don't want to smell like one. I want to be a man like God created. Solomon, show yourself a man. Amen. The world is full of gross wickedness. And so they are trying to merge and say it's not biologically, gender is not biologically determined. It is a choice. It is true this morning that there is a minute, small insignificance of genetic anomaly, if you will, where there are genetic defects, where someone could say there's a problem here, but there are defects in other types of when children are born, right? Someone could be born missing a hand, someone or a finger. Someone could have an extra finger. That's not a normal thing. That's an anomaly. So we don't use the anomaly to judge everything. So when people try to find some insignificant statistic to prove that gender is not biologically determined, that is very incorrect. Scientifically, scripturally, it is incorrect. God made male and female. He created men and women, and it's not just exterior differences. He did not tell Solomon, "Solomon, be a good person." He said, "Solomon, be a man. Show yourself a man." He didn't say, "Show yourself a woman." No, Solomon, you're a man. When I stand before you this morning, I don't want to conduct myself like a woman. Just like when a woman stands up, she is not to conduct herself like a man. That is, the Lord's not pleased with that. He created a distinction between the genders, and we're to act like it, we're to believe it, and we're to live like it. Show yourself a man. Well, it goes beyond the surface there. Do you think that David was encouraging Solomon to go lift weights? Solomon, go out and, you know, I'd work on it, be diligent, do some leg presses and do some benching and get some barbells, get some stones if you have to, and work it out, but Solomon, be a man. So who's the manliest among us here? How are we going to determine what it means to be a man? Shall we arm wrestle? Now, I will say my father was a librarian. And kind of, there was something in the city. My dad was a professional librarian, but he worked in a big city in the capital of Oregon, in Salem. But it was known throughout the city that my dad could beat the cops in arm wrestling. The librarian took on the policeman, and he won. But do you realize this morning that the essence of manhood is not determined in the amount of weights that you can bench press? Brother Ivan, we're talking about this issue a few years ago at Myrtle, and we were talking about being men. I said, "Brother Ivan, I said, the essence of a man is not how far you can throw a cow. We could have a cow throwing contest. I don't even know if you can throw a cow. I guess you could push, I don't know if you push one over or not. I've never tried. Some of you could probably instruct me on that. But you know that that's not what it means. That's not the essence. You're not more of a man. Maybe you say, well, if you can fix your diesel truck, that's what makes a man. So if you don't know how to fix a diesel truck, you're not much of a man. That's not what, I don't think they even had trucks here. I know they didn't. That's not what David was telling Solomon. He wasn't telling him to go and run an extra mile and so you can really be a man. That's not what he meant. It wasn't in who could beat with arm wrestling or who could jump the fence, the highest fence, or, you know, do those types of things. But he said he meant something by it. So what does it mean to be a man this morning? Show yourself a man. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Quit ye like men. What Paul was talking about here is don't be children. Take the context of it. It's like, don't be children tossed back and forth with every wind of doctrine. Don't give up. Don't change and just whatever way the tide is going, you're just changing. Living on emotion, living on feeling. It was like, no, be a man. Don't give up. Be strong with energy and determination and purpose. You know something about when someone says, be a man, it's like, don't flinch. Don't give up easily. Don't walk away, but press forward. Have courage in the face of adversity. You know, that's what David meant when he told Solomon, be strong and show yourself a man. Have purpose of heart. Have determination. Don't give up. Don't give in to the tides and the pressures of the world around you. But be strong. Be honest. You know what it means to show yourself a man is someone that is honest and dependable. Someone that has integrity. Someone who is just and ethical and pure. You want to see a real man, it's not how high of a fence you can jump over. It's not how fast you can fix a truck or how much weight you can bench press. You want to see a man, I'll show you someone that is honest, that you can trust their word when they say something. Someone that you can trust that they're pure, they're godly. They put God first in their life. That's a man this morning. Solomon, show yourself a man. Follow God. Be a man that be dependable, that those in your life can depend on you. That when I'm gone from home and I make trips, I want my wife to know she can trust me. So, well, he's been gone for 3 weeks now. Now a month. What's he doing? You want to know a man? A true man is someone that your family can trust. That's a man. That's a real man. Someone that you can trust. Their honesty, and when they tell you something, their word is their bond. That's a real man this morning. God designed men to be leaders. But I want to say something. I mentioned purity. Do you know in the Old West, and I think this is one of those very small statistics, but they talk about how the gunslingers of the Old West would notch their guns. You've heard that talked about. Am I talking to an audience that understands that? There's a few of you, yes. I'll explain it. So they said that, and this was not a widespread practice from my understanding, but there were a few that when they would get in a gunfight, every time they killed someone, they would file a little notch on their gun. So if you want to see how many people they'd kill, they could just look at their gun and see how many notches were on it. So the next person they kill, they notch their gun. Do you know there are males that are living that way in relationships with females. They're notching their gun. Well, I was with this one, and I was with that one, and I was with this woman, and they're notching their gun. Is that what makes a man? It takes more of a man. It takes more strength of character and more control for a man to control himself, to devote himself, to be faithful and diligent and reliable. Young men this morning, don't notch your guns. Well, I'm just going to keep track. You stay faithful to God in your purity, in the way you conduct yourself. That's what it means to show yourself a real man. The world is saying something very different. And look at the condition of our world. We do it God's way. That proves true manhood this morning. God designed men to be leaders. I touched on that. But do you know God did make men to fill different roles than he did women in the home and in society and in the church? God created men and women differently. And the scripture bears that out in various ways. That's a different Bible study. That he gave spiritual oversight. And I find that even in the scripture, and God used women mightily spiritually. Please do not misunderstand. But I do think, is it not noteworthy that the 12 disciples were men? It was not that there weren't women around, because there was a group of women devoted to the cause of Christ, and they went with them and followed them and were an integral part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And yet the 12 disciples were men. I do not believe that was happenstance, scripturally or historically. There was a reason for that. It was because God created men to be leaders. He created it doesn't mean there wasn't a place for a woman. Just like Deborah in the Bible, the men wanted the woman judge. She was a judge, and they wanted her to go. We're not going out to battle without you. That was the call of the men. And yet, that was a reproach on Israel as a country. It was a reproach at that time on Israel. The Lord wants people, the men, the males, to step up and be men. Provide leadership. Provide leadership in your home. Not because I'm the boss, but you be the one to set the example. You be the one to show what it means to love and care for and cherish. If you have a disagreement in your marriage, you want to see a real man, it's not the man that uses his wife as a doormat. It's the man that steps up to the plate and is the first to humble himself and say, I'm sorry. That's a real man. It's not one that excuses himself. It's a man is someone that will look at himself in the mirror and say, that's me. I should have handled that differently, regardless of what my wife or children should have done. I should have handled that differently. I'm sorry. That is true manhood. Solomon, show yourself a man. Provide that kind of leadership. In times of confusion and chaos, and again, my purpose is not to delve into the intricacy of these scriptures this morning, but when in times of chaos in the early morning church, It was true that there was in the synagogue a practice when someone was teaching, the men could call out questions. So if you didn't like what I was saying this morning, the men would not, now, Brother Michael, but what about this? And I think this is what is right. And they could have dialogue. And so what happened is the women started calling out to their husbands, well, is this right what he's preaching? And they were sitting on opposite sides, so one of you would call over to your husband on the other side of the chapel, questioning the speaker, and Paul said the women need to be silent in the church. If you have a question, wait till you get home and ask your husband. That was directly what he was referring to. It wasn't meant that there was never any place for women to speak or do something, because there's scripture for that as well, that there were women that prophesied. They had an integral role in the early morning church. But we find that the essence of leadership scripturally, we found that the burden of that fell on the men's shoulders. Show yourself a man, Solomon. Step up to the plate. There are men in their homes that need to step up to the plate. There are men in congregations that need to step up to the plate. And it's not fair for men to say, well, the women are just doing everything. Well, maybe if the men would do it, the women wouldn't have to. Have you ever thought about that? If men would step up, what about family worship? Brothers, we need to step up. Show yourself a man. Set the spiritual tone for the home. Well, Scripture talks about 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, if one does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith. That specifically, and here's some context, okay? That scripture in Timothy was specifically talking about children needing to take care of their widowed mothers. So when he said, if someone doesn't take care of their own, they're denying the faith, they're worse than an infidel, he's talking about children who don't take care of their aged mothers. However, it does not do an injustice to the scripture to give mind that who do I have charge to care for? Who is in my house? My wife and my children. A man's responsibility, a husband and father's responsibility, is to take care of the needs of his family. Solomon, show yourself a man. And that was not by having 1,000 wives and concubines. But Solomon, step up to the plate. You have responsibility. A man should provide. It should be one of his main priorities. Second only to God himself is to take care of the needs of his wife and children. That's what it means to be a man this morning. The scripture over in Ephesians 5 speaks about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He's the head. Men are, that was a job God gave men. Show yourself a man. But again, it wasn't the wife is just down here. See, God created Eve to be a helpmeet. I don't want my wife walking in front of me. That's not in order. But I also don't want her walking behind me. I want my wife to walk by my side. I want her to be a helpmeet, to help one another in life. But a man that is ahead of the home is not one who is overbearing. He's not one that I'm the boss and what I say go. No, it's one that sets the path of leadership by his conduct, not just his words. Not just in time to get people to do what he wants in the home because the Bible says I'm the head of the home. But no, the one that steps up and shows what it means to put God first. Providing spiritual leadership, setting the tone, sacrificing himself for the welfare of the family. And the scripture also tells men to husbands to dwell with their wives according to what? According to knowledge. And may I say that's a lifetime of learning. But the Bible says, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. If men as husbands, if we get indifferent to the emotional, physical, and spiritual needs of our wife, we are going against what the scripture teaches. When he said to dwell with them according to knowledge, their needs are different than yours. That's why you're a man and they're a woman. So as a man, be sensitive. A man supposed to be sensitive? Yes. Be sensitive to the needs of the females that God has placed in your life. Their needs are different. They have emotional needs that need to be met. And God gave us a charge. Show yourself a man. Take note of the needs your wife has. Step up to the plate and be there to be a strength to her. Don't drag her down, but be there to lift her up and support and strengthen. One of the things we say, show thyself a man. The world is full of unbridled lust. But do you realize that Paul himself said, I bring my body under submission. You want to see a man? It's someone that has learned by God's grace to control the emotions and passions and lusts that are in the world. Over in Proverbs 16, verse 23, or 32 rather, 16:32, he that is slow to anger. Now we're talking about what it means to be a man. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. So who's the man now? Well, I conquered a city. What a man. Was Samson a man? He was a man. But was he the man he should have been? He could take a city, but he gave in to the carnal lust of his flesh. I don't think David had in mind for Solomon to go taking another city when he said, Solomon, show yourself a man. I think he was talking about Solomon, control your emotions, control your passions, don't give vent. You want to see someone that's stronger than someone that can take a city? It's someone that can control his anger. In time of frustration, in time of annoyance, not losing control and just letting it all pour out, but someone who can take a measured approach in control of himself, that is a man. There's a lot more that could be said. We're going to end here shortly. And when the preacher says that and goes on 20 more minutes, I'm not going to be guilty of that this morning. There's a lot that could be said about what it means to be a man. But Jesus came and exemplified, didn't he, what it meant to be a man? Didn't Jesus do that? And he humbled himself. Do you know that God is not calling men to be a little, oh, I have to be humble, so I'm going to be like a mouse in a corner, and that just to be a real man, I'm just going to have to. That's not what he's talking about. But a man, a real man, is someone who can humble himself. Humble himself. Just like Christ, apologize, acknowledge when you're wrong, live a life of humility, and yet with purpose and courage and strength. Compassionate. And so we will look at the third verse there over where Solomon was speaking, where David was speaking to Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 2, he said, show yourself a man. And so David explained what he meant, okay? And we're gonna start winding down there. But this is what he told Solomon. I think this is the end, and yet it is more important than anything else has been said. And show yourself a man and keep charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. It takes a man to stand up and not go the way of the world. It takes a man to stand up. And when David told Solomon, show yourself a man, let me explain, Solomon, what I mean. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Follow his commandments. That is a man. I want to be that man this morning. I want to be that one that follows that instruction. I want to show myself a man and walk in the ways of the Lord. There is no greater gift as men this morning. There's no greater gift that we can give to our children, our wives, our brothers and sisters, and to this world than to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ and follow in his statutes. Solomon, show yourself a man. Follow the Lord. And we find then in Ezekiel, there came a time that the Lord sought for a man among them that should make up a hedge and stand in a gap. There was a need. And it said, I found none. The Lord is still looking for a man this morning to stand in the gap, to be that source of strength and courage, to be found walking in the ways of the Lord. Let's be that man. May I encourage us again, the brothers here, show yourself a man, and may God bless you. Amen.